Turn to Psalm number 34. We'll look at Psalm number 34, and Lord willing, we will draw a few really good themes for prayer out of the psalm that the psalmist lays out. This is David, Psalm 34, 3-4. We'll read through the whole psalm and then circle back. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Y'all hear music? Where's that coming from? Is that me? I don't think it is.
I think it's way back there, but
Okay. Just making sure it wasn't me there. Sorry. It's like, oh, Pandora hit turned on or something. Okay.
angels.
Yeah.
So
Sorry about that. Okay. So, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. So David begins this psalm setting up what he's going to do in verses 1 to 3. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So this exclamation that I am going, or this imperative that I'm going to bless the Lord, it's individual. He's committed to blessing the Lord, to speaking well of the Lord, to praising him, talking about his attributes, talking about who God is, speaking well of God. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And this invitation to the humble to magnify the Lord. Let us together raise him up, magnify him, lift him up, together see him high. And then he breaks off into a couple, in verses 4 to 7, verse 4 and 6 specifically. There's a couple of personal testimonies that he brings up that are reasons why the Lord should be magnified and praised. And he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So that's one of the testimonies of seeking God. And we think about what we do in our prayer time is we seek God, whether it be for spiritual, physical needs, we're coming to the Lord. And David says, I did that. I sought him. I looked for him. And he answered me. And the result was I was delivered from my fears. And I think that is You know, he could have said from my, he does say from my troubles in verse six. So he says fears here, things that could get me, but maybe haven't. I'm afraid of them. Then he says those who look to him are radiant. And their faces shall never be ashamed. Radiant, carries the idea of sparkle, or cheerful, I think was another word. Yes, sparkle or cheerful face instead of being ashamed. You're not going to be ashamed when you look to God. That's a promise here, really. Something we can lay hold of. And then another testimony, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him again, and he was saved from all his troubles. Fears and troubles. David is saying, personally, this is what God has done for me when I sought him. Also, you're not going to be ashamed if you seek him. And then in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So, pretty safe refuge we have in God here from verses 4 to 7. And he sets up this idea of fear, the fear of God, and kind of launches in to a section about fearing the Lord. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is an invitation, a broader invitation to taste and see. Look at, y'all come see this for yourselves. I've given you personal testimony. I'm inviting you, come and see how good the Lord is. Happy, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Had a day, one of my days at the office this week, there's this guy who works a few desks away, and I don't know him personally. He's more outgoing. He's on the phone all the time. I hear him talking, and sometimes I'm like, man, this guy's loud. But that's about the extent of what I know of him. And he's passed by, and my desk has my name on it. He said, hey, John, how's it going? And he only knows my name because of it. So now we've talked and said hi, you know. Anyway, really nice. He came by. He said, some of our coworkers from Lafayette are in town, and they brought Billy's. And like, Billy's sounds like a great place, but I don't know it, you know. And they brought boudin, and they brought chicken cracklings. I'm like, chicken cracklings? Yeah, what they do, they do the cracklings, and then they throw chicken in there after you cook the cracklings. So it soaked everything up. They leave the skin on the chicken. So he's raving about this. And after he talks to me, he goes around the office. He's like, hey, we got more than we need. Hey, you got to try this. Here's what they do. I hear it. And he's gone, and he's an evangelist for this food, right? He's converting people. He's saying, you got to taste this. Enough to describe what they do. This is what they do. Sure enough, I went and get some. It was amazing, you know. But the point being, it's kind of like, you know, obviously, what we're tasting of the Lord is way better than what we can cook around here. Spiritually, what the Lord does for us in salvation and his benefits toward us are way greater than that. So the illustration gets lost. But the idea is, like, come see this. David's saying, you got to taste this. You got to see what God has done. See that he's good. You got to taste it yourself. I can't just... When you have something good, or you're hearing somebody describe something that's maybe less than what you know is best, you can't wait to tell them, hey, you got to try this thing. This is so much better, and you just haven't lived. You've tried it. This is kind of what this guy was saying. This is so good. And that's what David, I think, is saying here. You got to see. The Lord is good. This is, and there's an exclamation point at the end of that. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, for those who fear him have no lack. And this is amazing. No lack. When we fear God and we walk in his ways, revere God in our Christian living, we're following God. We are subject to God in everything we do. We will have affliction, as you see later, but we will have no lack. We will not lack anything we need. That's amazing. And he says in verse 10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And that good qualifier, you'll have lack, you'll not have need for anything that's good for you. And this idea of a young lion there's a lot of strength there. You know, lions, fierce, the king of the jungle, but this is a young, vibrant lion coming into its own power, you know, pure power, the ability to hunt and gather its food. It's not like the older lions. It's young. It's ready to go. And even those lions suffer hunger, but you're not going to lack anything you need. That's something we can hang our hat on. So then he launches in verses 11 to 14, really, especially verses 13 and 14, is kind of this really condensed, encapsulated description of just Christian living and holiness. You know, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. So simple. But this is Christian living. This is what the one who fears, reveres the Lord, wants to follow God. It's not oversimplified. This is the broad stroke, maybe general. The commandments can be underneath these headers, but keep your tongue from evil. Turn away from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. This is what holiness looks like when you're fearing the Lord. And then he breaks in verses 15 and a little bit onward. You see some parallels to what he mentioned before. His personal testimonies in verse 4 and 6 kind of expand. Say, look, this isn't just for me. This is for the righteous too. And you see that the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. And you see the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. So this isn't that God is against the wicked and he's passive to the righteous. He's just not against them. It is that he is against the wicked and he is actively for the righteous. His eyes are toward us. And his ears are toward our cry. Think about, I think it was Jameson when he was a newborn. I went to Walmart like a few weeks after he was born, and some baby cried from across the store. I was on high alert, you know. I was just getting trained to kind of look up, like, oh, the baby's crying. And not that God is like that, but he's that attentive to us, more attentive than that. To our cry. We know his voice. He knows our needs. He knows our frame. And we have his eyes on us. We have his ears towards us, which is amazing. And the psalmist really contrasts us and says, the evil don't have this. The face of the Lord is actually against those who do evil. And he's going to cut off the memory of them from the earth. So this is a contrast. This isn't a passive on either side. It's like evil are over here, they get this, and you're completely on the other side getting God's full attention. And we have that. We have God's attention. But because of what he's done, we didn't clap loud enough for him to see us in our sin. He drew us in and said, I'm going to be attentive to you. I'm going to hear your cry. I'm going to call you my own. I'm going to redeem you. And isn't it amazing when we pray? We have that this morning. Not just David. We have that. It's amazing. And then he says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. This really parallels, I think, verse 6, where he said, this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved me out of all my troubles. The Lord also hears the righteous in general, all of us. They're just like me. He'll hear you as well. He's near to the brokenhearted, saves the crushed in spirit. He's near to the humble, The humble have been mentioned in the psalm. In verse 2, let the humble hear and be glad. This call to magnify the Lord is really for the humble. You know, the mention of fearing God. Those who fear God have to be humble. They can't be boastful outside of God. And so, you know, the Lord is near to those who are humble. They're brokenhearted. They're lowly. They're crushed in spirit. And then he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And then in verse 21, he says, affliction will slay the wicked. So you see this contrast. And you can take from this that the wicked and the righteous alike will have many afflictions. But the Lord delivers him, the righteous, out of all his afflictions. And that same affliction that's common to everyone will actually slay and be the end of the wicked. So this, again, is a contrast. It's like, you know, we hear people say, and I get it, I say it too, that I don't know how anyone gets through any affliction, any hard thing, loss of a loved one, or health issues, chronic health issues, without God. I don't know how they do that. And the truth is, by this verse, is they don't in the end. Unfortunately, unless God intervenes, they don't get through that successfully. Because these afflictions either draw you closer to God or they push you further away. And so I get the sentiment, but they don't make it through. But God delivers us out of all our afflictions. And he redeems the life of his servants. And so none who take refuge in him will be condemned. And I thought about that a lot when you see this, the Lord delivers the righteous out of all their affliction. When you think about your life and the trials you've gone through, the affliction you've gone through, whatever the kind it is, can you say that? The Lord's delivered me out of all of them? And there has to be more to this than every single time I prayed for this thing to happen. It happened exactly how I prayed, and so that means God delivered me. I don't think it's that at all. But it's like what you see in verse 10. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. God's the one who defines that good thing. And so it's a lot of this is tuning our heart to desire what he desires and to call good what he calls good. And I think that a lot of times is some of the deliverance from the affliction. It's God actually changing your view of what a bad thing is and saying, that's working. I really see that working for good for me. Or I don't, but I somehow have the ability to trust you with it. That's from God. That's God delivering in the affliction. I'll just end with a testimony that popped into my head while I was studying this. And we can open up for prayer. And if you have a testimony, because David gives these testimonies in verses 4 and 6 of God's goodness. He delivered me. Again, this is, he doesn't leave anything out. All my fears, all my troubles. You know, this was on my mind because we celebrated Aubrey's first birthday. She turned 1 on Thursday. And when we found out we were having her, you know, it was really early on. I went on a walk. I went praying. And I said, I prayed kind of 3 requests. Started general and got really specific. And my testimony is that God answered them all in the way I asked them. And I'm reminded of that. So I prayed, Lord, please let the pregnancy test be accurate. Please let this be real. And then I prayed, please let this baby be healthy. Because there was a lot of fear, like David faced, a lot of fear with our past with Madeline. Please let this baby be healthy, please. And Lord, please, if you could, let this be a little girl. That would be good. And it was just simple, like just, it was really Wasn't any way in the way I prayed it. There was nothing extravagant. Just a memory I had that it was a specific prayer that was really weighing on me. That I want this to be real. I want this to be a healthy baby. You could do that, and I want this to be a girl. That one kind of frivolous. It could be a girl or a boy. And the Lord answered all those prayers in the way I prayed it. He didn't have to do that. If he would have done something else, because he has called me to him and I'm one of his, he would have made me see it as good. He would have made me have a testimony of God gives affliction, but you know, he's good. But he did. He answered all those prayers in the exact way that I prayed him. And so that's my testimony this morning. And I can tell you, that's just one example that I'm telling you, trying to encourage you, that how good God is. He cared about every little bit of the way she came to be in the womb and all that. And he did a lot of redeeming of our past trials with that. And that's not to say that there's not anything difficult on the horizon for her or any of our kids. They're always in the hand of God. But that's God surely answered those prayers, as far as I can tell. So I'm going to say with David, I'm blessing the Lord for that. Isn't he good? And I'm praising him. I want to lift him up, and I want to invite you to lift him up as well. And so with that, I would open it up for prayer requests. Or if you have anything you want to exalt God about in the congregation, and share a testimony like David does here, I would invite you to do that. Feel free to do that as well.
We can all agree in Elisa's adoption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Claudia wanted me to ask y'all to pray for her. Her blood pressure is still kind of wacky. And they're trying some new medicine, but she really wants to see the doctor Tuesday. But the nurse is trying to just say, no, give this 2 weeks. But she doesn't think she can give it 2 weeks. So she's just praying that she'll have mercy, grace with the nurse, or somehow be able to get to see the doctor Tuesday.
Okay, we'll pray for her. Anyone else have anything that they need to pray about? I can pray for you. I had one, my Aunt Sylvia, my dad's sister. She's the oldest of the kids. She has pancreatic cancer, and she's starting to lose appetite and things like that. So I'm trying to think about, you know, possibly going to see her soon. She lives out about an hour and a half. I don't know which direction, outside of Houston. Never been out there. She mainly would come visit, but just pray for her soul and pray for those who love her, and pray for God's grace and pain and suffering, and that she would see God's goodness in that. Just mainly her soul. I appreciate it. But anyone else? Yeah.
Just keep me in prayer for an unspoken prayer request. Some people know what it is, some people don't, you know.
Okay.
It's pretty complex. I appreciate any prayer for it.
Yeah, definitely. Keep Gabe in prayer.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Hey, can you please pray for my sister-in-law, Ramona? She's the sister-in-law with the baby with Down syndrome, and she has a newborn, and they're all really, really sick. She hasn't slept in a few days, taking care of two babies, and she's thinking that she might end up at the hospital with the little baby. So they have RSV. So if you could keep them in prayer, please, that they would heal and wouldn't have to go to the hospital, and that Ramona would get some sleep, and just pray for their family. They've been thanking the Lord a lot for getting through each night, and it is really drawing them closer to the Lord. They're praying together out loud, her and her husband, and they don't really go to church at all, but God's working.
Okay. Are they local? Are they around town? Are they?
They're in Lafayette.
Okay.
Whew.
Okay, we'll pray for them. Anyone else?
Sam's got a bad back.
Yes.
Jack is sick. For the Kennedys. I can see them. The Zoom.
He said Jack is sick. Anyone else?
You mentioned too, we read, taste and see that the Lord is good, and wanted to say Jack is sick, but he was out there with us yesterday. He's a strong brother. He obviously needs his rest today, but we had a blessed day yesterday out at LSU, and we were able to see the Lord is good in the proclaiming of the gospel.
Praise God. Awesome. Great to hear. Anybody else? Why don't we pray about these things? I can open us up. No. Brother Chris, would you mind closing us today when folks are done? Thank you. Dear Lord, we do thank you and come to you in the name of Christ once again, and we just thank you that you are so good to us. It would be so much more eternally, immeasurably more than we deserve for you to redeem our souls only. But the life of your son is so valuable that you've given us so many benefits that came through his death. Salvation, but life abundant today, in spite of any affliction that would threaten us, any fear that would come for us, any condemnation that would seek to take away our joy in you. You deliver us out of all our troubles, all our fears. And this is not just for David. This is for all of us here who know you, who you have called to yourself and redeemed. And Lord, we know you won't withhold any good thing, as we even see in the psalm. And so it's with that we come before you, with that confidence that these words that were used, all, Lord, we believe that. We believe that all that we get from you is good, even if we can't see it. But Lord, we operate in within your will and within what you've given us to know today. And so with that, we have these requests and we bring them to you. We praise you for all the answers you've given us, Lord, throughout the years, individually as a church. We lift you up and praise you and confess how worthy you are of all our affection, Lord. And we lift up Miss Claudia, Lord. We ask that it would be a good thing for her, Lord, that you would help her be able to see a doctor sooner than a 2-week period, Lord, that you'd minister to her, Lord, that you'd be gracious to her and watch over her body. Lord, I pray for my Aunt Sil, Lord, that you be with her. Lord, that you would be with her soul, that you would save it, Lord, that you would be with those who love her, Lord, that they can encourage her, that they can give her truth, Lord, that you would be so gracious to her, Lord. I ask you. Lord, I pray for Gabe, Lord, in this complex trial, this request he's brought, Lord. I pray for your grace there. I pray for clarity. Whatever this is, Lord, I pray for help for him. Lord, I pray for Samantha and her back, Lord. I pray for her sister-in-law, Ramona, and this illness that her family has, Lord. I praise you that they're trusting in you, Lord, but I pray for deliverance. It sounds like a really, really difficult, Lord, trial. I pray that you keep their family out of the hospital, Lord, that you would just intervene today on that, and they could praise you all the more for your work there, Lord. We ask you for your help. Lord, we praise you for your goodness to Brother Tom and Brother Jack. Lord, we pray for out on the street, and we pray for Jack as he's sick, Lord, as you minister to him in his sickness, that you'd heal him. Help him to see your hand in that. Lord, I pray for our time here, that you would cause us to see you, Lord, higher than we did before we came here. Clearer. Lord, thank you for all your goodness. Thank you for your word, in Jesus' name.
Well, I thank you for the day, Father. Just praise your name, Lord. Just filled with gratitude of all your great mercies, Father. The survey of our lives, Lord, we could just continue begin to count all the blessings and goodnesses you've shown to us, Lord. Primarily revealing Christ, Lord, showing us Christ. Now that we're years down the road, we're all experiencing that our outer man is in pain. Lord, we rejoice that our inner man is renewed day by day. Help us to enrich ourselves through the Word of God and fellowship of the brethren. And Father, you give an eye discernment to understand the providences in our life. Lord, that they're designed, Father, to pull Christ in us. That they're designed to bring glory to your name. Lord, they're designed to humble the pride of man. We design and exalt Christ. Lord, just help us, Father, to be in the war, in the battle. Keep us in the battle. Lord. Strengthen us when we get weary. Lord, uplift us, Father. Give us strength, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, thank you so much, Father, for the love of your people. Whatever you have for us to go through, Lord, trials and tribulations, Lord, help us. Give us that spirit of faithfulness, Father. Give us that spirit of understanding, we're not whether in good faith the times that are before us. Lord, help us see more importance of the assembly, the people of God, the assemblies. Help us not neglect us getting together to encourage and edify, admonish Lord, those things that have eternal weight and value. Lord, give us that balance that we need, Father. This Lord, thank you again for people that love you and get a fellowship with. In Christ's name.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder of your word. We heard this morning how attentive you are toward us. Your eyes are toward the righteous and we know in ourselves we have no righteousness, but because we're covered in the shed blood of Christ, you look toward us, your ears are towards, aware of our cries. And not only that, your face is against those that have missed us. So we pray that you would help us as we try to continually praise you, that we would bless you at all times, the psalmist said, that we would learn how to give thanks in every situation, that we would make our boast in only in you, not in anything that we do. We would humble ourselves in your sight and give you thanks for the ways that you've delivered us from all of the fears and trials and sins that have overtaken us, that we won't suffer want, that you would satisfy us with good things. And that you would renew our strength and you would help us to mount up like eagles heaven. Father, that as you deliver us from things that have overtaken us, we would teach others, we would teach children the fear of the Lord. That you would guard our lips from speaking guile and our tongue from evil, that you would help us to use our whole being in sacrifice of praise, and worship, and everything we say and do. We would love you and love our neighbors. That we would turn away from evil and be good. teach us what it means to seek peace and pursue it, to know how we can accomplish that in the world that is against you and against us many times. We thank you so much that you've heard our cry and you've delivered us from all of our troubles. And even when it doesn't seem like that, when it seems dark, we know you are capable and you're good and you're there with us. So we pray for our physical needs that we've listed out, that you would heal Jack from his congestion and cough, that you would help Samantha with the back problems and the other folks that we've named before you that have physical ailments, that you would raise them up to praise you in the communication. We pray that you would inhabit our praise this morning. Help us to tune our hearts to sing your praise. And we pray all this in the blessed name.